As the marsh hen secretly builds on the watery sod, so I will build me a nest on the greatness of God. I will fly in the greatness of God as the marsh hen flies in the freedom that fills all the space betwixt the marsh and the skies. By so many roots as the marsh grass sends into the sod, I will heartily lay me a hold on the greatness of God. Our hymn is number 263. Responsive reading is selection number 88, Victorious Assurance. God, we are as fugitives of thy spirit, but in this hour may we find our refuge in thee, and in thy holy presence may we be whole, cleansed of every sin and unworthy thought, purified of every unworthy motive, and made acceptable in thy sight. O God, we have no claim to ask to lay hold on thee, but we are made bold in the name of Jesus Christ to call thee our Father. Father, let thy love be upon us, and thy mercies attend us. May thy Holy Spirit keep us from evil and harm, and cause us to know thee, and to love thee, and to serve thee. Bless our school, O God. Enable it to serve its purpose and the mission to which thou hast sent it. Bless our president in his travels and in his ministries. Give him strength, give him assurance of thy presence. Be with our teachers, our professors, and all who serve thee here in the various duties and tasks of our school. And be with the students. Open their minds and hearts to receive new and fresh interpretations of thy love. But let them not forsake old truths, but let them lay hold of what is eternal and everlasting. Bless us, O God, in our going and coming, and keep us safe in our travels. Bless us in our churches. And may we be worthy servants of the Most High. Bless us in our homes, in the relation to these we love dearest and most. And may here we experience something of heaven itself. And our Father, for the larger institutions of thy kingdom, for the missionaries, but all who serve thee in institutions of charity and love and mercy, we pray thy blessings. We give thee special thanks for our chaplains, chaplains in the armed services and chaplains in institutions. Pray thy special blessings upon our speaker in this hour. Anoint him with thy spirit and give him grace to say thy word aright. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Our speaker this morning is the Reverend William R. Steininger, chaplain now for 15 years at Dorothea Dix Hospital in Raleigh. He holds degrees from the Moravian College, the Moravian Theological Seminary, Pacific School of Religion. He studied at Harvard, University of Washington, and at Duke University. During the Second World War, he was a chaplain in the Pacific area, and is present chief of Veterans Administration Guidance Center at the North Carolina State and at Chapel Hill. He is lecturer in pastoral care and chaplain supervisor at Duke and Southeastern. It's a real joy that we welcome this fine Christian man and this noble servant of God, Mr. Steininger.
It's good to be back. They say that if you're invited back to an institution, you didn't do too badly the time before. But if you do not get invited back, it probably the fault lies within yourself. Not going to read a scripture this morning, but I'm going to suggest to you that you read Romans 12. When you get back or when you have a moment, as an introduction to probably some of the things I'll be saying. If you'd like to read some books, I suggest one, Earl Loomis, The Self in Pilgrimage, a psychiatrist who was at Union Theological Seminary in New York for quite a while, and there did a very good job. The other man, if you're interested in counseling, if you're interested in interviewing people, Harry Stack Sullivan, who is famous maybe for one phrase, if nothing else, that we who counsel or try to help should be participant observers in the journey of life. This morning I'm going to speak on the greatest journey. Scripture tells us that life is like a journey. It starts with a question mark, with many possibilities. Where does life come from? Who is responsible for this life which we hold so dear? Who planned it all? Who thought it up? Why are we here? Where are we going? And what is the purpose of it all? When I do say that life is a journey, I also mean that it does start with a question mark. And there are days and months and years of living, which all of us do on this journey. And if you and I matched experiences, many of those experiences might be somewhat similar, but yet they are different. We'd also find that life's journey is made up of little things, very few great events, big events, mostly details. Things which require attention every day of our life. Details which seem meaningless at times, yet they go to make up our day, the day of one of the days of the greatest journey. Yes, very few of them are large, most of them insignificant. Now, you and I may not travel to the moon. Some of you may. I don't imagine they'll have return trips in my lifetime, and I'd like to get back. But even this is not beyond the stretch of the imagination. It is possible. Today is a day of speed in travel. May I mention a contrast? I remember when I was a boy, a 1910 Rio automobile clattered along a dirt road, the main street in our town in Pennsylvania, at the terrific speed of 15 miles an hour, raising a lot of dust. That was as fast as it could go. That was the maximum speed. There are very few places where automobiles want to go less than 15 miles an hour today. Now, I remember another time, that was some years later, I was at the University of Washington, as university pastor for the Congregational Christian Church and director of their Pilgrim Foundation. I was invited ever so often to fraternity dinners, where we sat and ate and visited, and then afterwards had what we called a bull session. And sometimes that's all it was. But one time, this one thought stayed in my memory, at least until today. One of the young men was talking about how fast the planes cruised. Boeing airplane was, and the plant was in Seattle. And the planes cruised at about 100 to 150 miles an hour. And they thought that was terrific speed. And I suggested to one of the young men that maybe this was not the end of speed, that maybe 200, 250 miles an hour wouldn't be too unusual. And they cautioned me not to be so extravagant in my prediction. I wonder if those young men look back now and say, when they hear someone break the sound barrier, how fast man is traveling today. And the astronauts who didn't get to go up and hook their nose into the Agena and sort of meet with them in space, 5,200 miles an hour, nothing to it. And now we hear men talking about traveling maybe at the speed of light. Speed, certainly, in this journey of life, we've come into a time of speed. But this is not the way, or this is not the speed at which you and I travel most of the time. It may be that Isaiah had something to tell us when he said, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, or they shall run and not be too weary." Or maybe even the man who walks, those of us who are pedestrian, "We shall walk and not faint." You and I, most of the time, are plodding along a step at a time. And the speed at which most of us travel certainly is not more than that. I said this traveling in this journey of life that you and I are doing today is made up of details, of insignificant things, nothing too outstanding, ordinary happenings, nothing too dramatic. And I imagine that the women folks in our homes, they plod along in the kitchen, sometimes think that certainly is true. Cooking meals, keeping house, seeing that the clothes are washed, routine work on the job, whatever it may be, or the ministers who go out ringing doorbells, settling squabbles in association. Or maybe sitting down and reading some of the required reading of the denomination. Or maybe preparing a talk or even a sermon or trying to plan a church school. And you say, "Well, this is not the big thing. This is not the ministry that I'm here for." And yet it's the detail, the day-by-day work, which takes up most of our time. But ever so often, something dramatic does take place and does occur. A wonderful experience that gives us a lift, and somehow or other, we record that on the calendar of our experience and say, "This is more like it." And we try to remember the day and the place and the time. As I look back, and I imagine you could look back in a time too, for a little while, there were some of those days. Maybe it was the day you started school. I'll never forget the first day I went to school because I had an accident that day and almost lost an eye. So I'll remember that day. marked on the calendar is an experience way beyond anything that that might have happened. It could have been the time you graduated or I graduated from high school. You and I never knew quite as much after that as we did on that day. Then it might have been too the day we joined the church, when we had the religious experience and felt that we belonged to the family of God. What a wonderful thing it was. Or maybe even better, you say, the time we fell in love, or when we got married, or when that beautiful baby came into our home and became a part of our family. Yes, life has its great moments that we record on this journey of life. It could have been when you answered God's call to enter the ministry and take your place alongside of others in advocating the Christian way of life. Maybe we might do as Samuel did of old, after he had called that prayer meeting at Mizpah. And he said, this is just too good to keep, and we're going to raise a monument, call it Ebenezer, between Mizpah and Shen, for hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Certainly there are times when we feel like that, and we feel happy because we have the feeling that we're not alone. Now I've come to the conclusion that this journey that you and I take through life is indeed starts with a question mark. We don't know, and our parents don't know, just what the possibilities and the probabilities are for us. Why, where, when, and how. And where we see and know and understand the answer, at least in part, and somehow or other we want to know. While this indeed is true in everyday life, I was looking to the various areas in which people also plod a great deal, and they come up with a question mark, and this is true in research. I was reminded of that just this past week when I met with Dr. Sandifer, who heads our research at a mental hospital. Starting with a question mark, why, when, how, and then trying to find the answer, what to do about it. And when medicine comes up with the answer, then there is also maybe the exclamation point, Eureka, we have found it. There's something there. This talk or sermon or address, whatever you'd like to call it, grew out of a conversation that I had with my son in Wilmington, Delaware. He's working with the Hercules Powder Company in research, designs equipment for the chemists. The chemists come and say, now this is our problem, this is what we want to do. You design and fabricate the machinery and give it back to us so that we can run the experiment. It starts with a question mark, and if they find the answer, it ends with an exclamation point. And if it doesn't, it's back to the drawing board again to start all over again. Now in religion, this is no different. Those of us who are Christians take with us, we hope at least, the Christian religion on our everyday journey through life. It's an asset, a great help. At least you and I feel it is. We might start with the Old Testament to see what the experience of men have been, and start with Abraham, if you like. He faced a great question mark, and obeyed the admonition to journey on and find a land that he knew not. Or we might travel with the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road. Certainly up to that moment, All of life was a question mark. He thought it was not, but it was, as we look it back in perspective. And on that Damascus road, he met his God and his Lord. And from that day on, Paul, in the synagogue and in the meeting places, was an advocate of the Lord, certainly. None other than the Son of God. Or we might look to some of the other doubters. For instance, there was John the Baptist. You folks think a great deal of him. So do I. Maybe not quite as the same way as you do, but nevertheless, John the Baptist, the man who dressed in a rough coat of camel's hair, with leather belt around his waist, who lived on a diet of locusts and wild honey. Yes, he said, there cometh one after me. But then also, when he was in jail, in prison, he sent some of his disciples back and said, are you the one we look for? Are you the one that was to come, or do we look for another? And Jesus said to them, look about you and see for yourself. The deaf hear, the lame walk, and the sick are made whole. Then there was Peter. Oh my, as time won't allow us to look further, you and I, as we take this journey, if we are wise, we will not take it alone. We will take with us our Lord and Master, that he too may be the participant observer, if you like, that he may be the companion along the way, so that the road which we travel in this great journey may not be the shortest way, but it'll be the best way back to God. Let us pray. Father God, thou who dost direct us in all things, support us this day and all the days of our lives. Give us a good measure of wisdom that we may do those things which we need to do and do them wisely. Give us a good sense of direction that we may find the most direct route back to thee. And to thee shall be the praise, for we ask it in his name. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the love of God be and abide with us all, now and forevermore.